from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up next on Forum, in our opening segment in this next Forum Hour, we'll discuss Zizova, the San Francisco-based Journal of Literature and the Arts, now under new leadership. Then at 9:30, we hear all about The Atavist, which publishes long-form nonfiction stories for mobile devices like the iPad. Forum is next. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum Second Hour. The San Francisco-based Journal of Literature and the Arts, Zizova, has its first new editor since its beginning a quarter century ago. And we're talking with him in studio here. And the new editor is Oscar Villalón, who many of you know, many of you know, of course, from his days as book editor of the San Francisco Chronicle and working with Dave Eggers and now... Well, morphed into a managing editor of Zizova. Congratulations, first of all. It's been how long since you've been at the helm?
At the helm of anything?
No, at the helm of Zizova.
Well, this is the I'm the second in command. The helm is Laura Kogan, my boss, who couldn't be here because she's actually coughing like crazy. But it's been 25 years. Since there's been a new editor at Zizova.
But how long has it been since Oscar has been managing editor?
Oh, I think this is the first time I've been managing editor. The last time I was running or had a hand in running anything was the book review section. So it was back in 2008.
You're pretty excited about this, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fantastic journal. I mean, Zizova is going on its 26th year. It's dedicated to publishing the best work of West Coast artists and writers. And by the West Coast, Zizova means California, Oregon, and Washington, but also Alaska and Hawaii.
You got an Idaho writer in there too, don't you?
I don't know if we have an Idaho writer in there, but we probably have a writer in there who once visited Idaho or some such thing.
But this is the 92nd issue of Zizova, and this cover is terrific. I mean, the art here is almost like, I mean, you're trying to kind of build something like a museum a little bit, aren't you, or a gallery?
That's right. A couple of things. So going into this fall issue, Laura Kogan decided that one of the things that we needed to do was sort of spruce up the journal a bit. It was already elegant to begin with, but what we had in mind was trying to make into something more of an object, desirable object, along the lines of a book. And so toward that, we asked designer Josh Corwin down from Los Angeles, who works with this design studio, Three Steps Ahead, if he would collaborate with us and help us come up with something that would do two things. One, get across the legacy, if you will, of Zizova. And two, get across to people that we're as much about art as we are about literature. So for the redesign, we created a cover that basically mimics a gallery wall. And so instead of just having a dominant picture up on the cover, we more or less sort of tweaked it so it looks like canvases or actual paintings hanging in a gallery, and that's what you're seeing there.
You look at the cover, and it's right out of kind of the WPA proletarian art, but reminds me of Diego Rivera. They're putting up actually the Golden Gate Bridge on the cover.
Right. That cover, that's by Owen Smith, who if people may be very familiar with him for his covers from The New Yorker. And his style is very much influenced by the WPA. For this one, what it is one, I think, of four or five panels of paintings he did for the San Francisco Arts Commission that would be used for the mosaics now at the new Laguna Honda. If you go in there, you could see that cover on a much bigger scale than in a mosaic.
And on the back, we've got Sandow Burke, who actually, when he was at, when they had a retrospective of his work at the San Jose Art Museum, I did an event with him. And this is a little more abstract than I'm used to. And I mean, he does all these surfing things and Southern California things.
Sure. Well, so this is connected actually to an excerpt of a screenplay that we published from Robert Mailer Anderson and Zach Anderson. It was a screenplay about a
Robert Mailer Anderson of Boonville fame.
Boonville, absolutely, and also of screenwriting and movie making fame, if you will. So what it was is that Robert and Zach allowed us to use this screenplay, an excerpt of the screenplay, and it's about a young man from Mexico trying to find his father in the United States, who was basically lost communication with right after 9/11. Presumably the father died in the towers. As many migrant workers died that day. So what this is refers to is an illustration that accompanies that that screenplay. In fact, there are two other illustrations by Sandow Burke that are accompany that piece.
Well, I opened up this new issue, and a writer I like. In fact, it's interesting. I want to find out from you about placement. Tim Bissell, who mm-hmm. Portland writer and was associated with McSweeney's, I believe. He has a story all about cocaine in some part of what used to be the former Soviet Union, where St. Olaf's is. Where is that, actually?
I don't know. All I know, it's somewhere in the – it's a Baltic European country. That's all I know.
He doesn't pinpoint it, but boy, you've got this wild story about this woman whose dog bites everybody, and that's how they meet. The dog attacks this guy who's an American expat living here. I really got into the story. I thought it was actually a very compelling story, and wondered why the placement of first. Is there something to that, or just...
Well, just for the very reasons that for the same reasons you're describing how you felt reading it. It is compelling. There's a
you
lot of
get your reader involved with that first story.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's the first one. I think it's fun. It's very funny. It is compelling. Tom is, I think he's a wonderful, wonderful writer. I'm a big fan of his work. I especially loved his last book, Why Video Games Matter, his critique on video games and the aesthetics of video games, this sort of thing.
Actually, his protagonist writes video games,
too. That's right. So there's video games in it. The story's called Love Story with Cocaine.
And boy, is there a lot of cocaine.
There's a lot of cocaine. There's a lot of ennui, and it's very funny. Basically, you know, it was a piece that we both liked. I think if there was any sort of strategy behind it, it was just that I think Laura and I thought it was very entertaining, and it'd be a good way to introduce people to the rest of the work and the issue.
Well, let's talk about what else is in this issue, because you've got some really quality fiction as well as poetry, and you've got, as you mentioned, the Robert Mailer Anderson screenplay. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of art. It's a potpourri of – and people are always interested in how do you decide, because you get so many submissions.
I think the way we decide essentially is it is as scientific as this. It's basically what we like. It's highly subjective. There's a few things that go into it. One, we want to find work that's surprising, work that we don't think is familiar, that people aren't going to look at this and say, oh, I've read that thing before or that sort of story before. That's one. Two, we want to find as many varied voices as we can. One thing that we definitely appeals to us is writing that has a voice. You get tons and tons of writing.
I mean, a distinct voice.
Absolutely. That has an intellect behind it, where you could tell that the writer has a view of life, and it's pretty well defined. And so you're getting this intelligence clearly through. A lot of writing is unfortunately not like that. Either there's a sameness, the voice is written in a sort of way because that seems to be what gets published these days, or for whatever reason, the writer hasn't yet gotten to the point where they can filter life, if you will. It's what I think Borges talked about, that where, you know, writing shouldn't be where you hold up a mirror to something. It's rather looking through life through a prism. There's a big difference.
Talking with Oscar Villalon, the managing editor of Zizova, the new issue is out, fall 2011, number 92, with fiction from Tom Bissell and David Gooderson and Milena Watrous, Will Bowes, poetry from W.S. DiPiero, Jeanette Ali, Troy Jollimore, and introducing a couple of writers, Susan Berman and Daryl Currier. Brings up a whole question of not only how you select writers, but make this have the imprint of being West Coast writers, because this is clearly what you want. You want so who are the West Coast writers? I mean, what is there definitive about, other than the fact that they're in this geographical locale?
Right.
Is there something that brings them together in any other way?
You know, I think thematically, do they share various things? I think if I had to say,
some real problems here between Southern Californians and Northern Californians.
Exactly, but I would say a couple things probably. One is I think I find West Coast writing to be more varied ethnically, and in terms of also in class. I think we are doing a lot
more egalitarian.
Absolutely. But I think we're doing a lot more interesting things here in terms of writing from Latinos, Asian Americans, certainly African Americans and this sort of thing. More so than I would probably than what you see in a lot of journals coming out back east. Probably, I say. Geography is basically what unites them all. But I almost hesitate to answer that question because, I don't really want to pigeonhole us. There's some things that we're all concerned about. You see a lot of writing about the environment, certainly, among West Coast writers. It's always been something that's a traditional thing. And I think what you do is also have a lot of writing that has to deal with I don't want to see necessarily the counterculture, but that questions about maybe about the way we're living and whether or not we're living the best we can.
I'm going to open the phone lines. Actually, I'd like to address this question to you, our listeners. Of course, you may have questions or comments about Zizova. You may have followed Zizova and may have some thoughts about it, or you may, in fact, be one of those who would like to get into Zizova. So an opportunity for you to talk to its managing editor, Oscar Villalon, who will be with us for the first half-hour segment. So if you have a question or comment, now is the time to call. And I'd like to open up the lines and also engage you in a question about particular qualities of West Coast writers and artists. Ask callers what distinguishes art here, do you think? Not even necessarily just talking about the Bay Area, but really the West, because this in its new incarnation is trying to take into account Western writing and Western art. Feel free to join us now. Our toll-free number is available to you, and we do welcome your calls. It's 866-733-6786. The number again, 866-733-6786. If you'd like to talk with Oscar Villalon, if you have some thoughts about what constitutes West Coast writing or West Coast art, you can also email us. Our email address is simply forum@kqed.org, or you can post a question or comment on our website by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. Let's talk a little bit about funding. There's some ads here. There's also, of course, a lot of nonprofits that you're struggling with and competing with for
sure.
The dwindling sources of funding.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So how's that going?
Well, so far, so good. I say that because Laura and I started in January. So now here we are kissing September. And up to this point, everything looks pretty okay. Now, what we're hoping is that folks are really going to love what we're doing, not only with this issue, but the winter issue to come in November, and also the spring issue to come next year. And we'll see from there. We'll see how we're doing. I think we're going to be okay, though. I think the journal's been around for 26 years. I think it speaks to a need. I think it's important to have a publication on the West Coast that gives very, very good writers a forum in which their work can appear, so that you don't have to go to the New Yorker. It's great if you go to the New Yorker because the money's great, obviously. But if you have this important work, and for whatever reason it's not being published in other places, perhaps because they just don't get it, because you're a West Coast writer, whatever, here is an opportunity for you.
What are you able to pay your writers?
Oh, Laura could tell you that, and she's not here. I only hesitate because I'm trying to remember exactly what it is. It's decent. It's not, you're not going to pay the mortgage.
Nominal.
Yes, yes.
What interests me about this whole notion of West Coast writers is last week I moderated it wasn't a debate really, it was more a discussion of different positions by mayoral candidates here in San Francisco, and they're all speaking about their enthusiasm
sure.
for the arts, and this is
mm-hmm.
a great literary town, great art town, have to support the arts in spite of the fact that the resources what's in the coffers are continuing to be depleted and dwindle. The fact of the matter is, you could present yourself, let's say, as a Bay Area journal, and you could probably go to the trough a little bit and say, we want the Arts Commission and arts funding because we're a Bay Area. But with the West, you kind of make yourself more diffuse, don't you?
Not really. I mean, we are based in San Francisco. A lot of our writers are from the Bay Area. But what we're trying to say is, look, we want to have this conversation among all these folks. For example, we have a lot of writers from Portland who appear in this issue.
I noticed that.
Yeah, you know, and there's a lot of good things going on there. Part of what we're doing is facilitating this conversation among writers up and down the West Coast by bringing them all into the journal. We're sort of saying, you know, that we think what you guys are doing in Seattle is pretty cool. We think what you guys are doing in Portland is very, very interesting. LA, of course, you know, up and down, even San Diego, all other parts up and down the West Coast, you know, Hawaii and Alaska. And we want to put you all in one place. Does it make us more diffuse? I don't think it makes us more diffuse. If anything, I think it might make us more interesting. You know, but we are for sure headquartered in the Bay Area, and we are very attuned to our backyard. If you go to our website, zizziva.org, zyzzyva.org, you could see the ton of events we're doing around the Bay Area. So we certainly have ourselves firmly planted here and with our eye toward you know, being an important contributor to the literary community. But we think by talking to all these writers up and down the West Coast, we're making ourselves, I think, that much more pertinent, not less.
Well, again, if any of you out there have some notions of what makes for West Coast writing or what is in any way identifiable or has an imprimatur of what we could call West Coast regional writing, it'd be interesting to hear what you have to say, or if you have questions or comments for our guest, managing editor Zizziva, Oscar Villalon. It's toll-free, 866-733-6786, or email us forum at kqed.org, or post a question or comment on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. Of course, Zizziva, the name has always been a curiosity of many people. It's sort of the end of the dictionary, isn't it?
It is the last word in most English dictionaries. It is a tropical weevil.
It's a bug.
It's a bug. Hence the bug that you now see on the cover.
And the bug you see on the cover?
That's
right above
there.
The name.
There you go. There you go.
It's an interesting imprint, though, because it's got a Z on it. It's a bug with a Z.
And it's made from typographical elements, so it's not creepy bug. It's elegant bug.
Well, let's talk about why people should buy Zizziva. I'm going to put you in the role of salesman here. And you may not necessarily cotton to that, but the fact of the matter is it is a quality journal, a feast of contemporary poetry, prose, and art. The real question, I suppose, maybe why people should buy it so much as why people should spend their time with it.
Well, this is a question for, you know, any sort of literary endeavor. Why should you?
This is your endeavor.
Absolutely. But I hate to be a salesman, but let me just say this. I think it's for a few reasons. One, the quality of the work is very high. I think that's number one. You're going to find very good writing, not only writing from established writers, but a lot of writing from people whose first time in print is there. For example, in this issue, we have a wonderful short story by this Los Angeles writer, Susan Berman, called Lust for Life, set in 70s.
That's the title. That's also the title of the Van Gogh film, right?
Well, in this case, it refers to the Iggy Pop song, Lust for Life. It's set in 70s New York and deals with this sort of toxic relationship between a young aspiring actress and her abusive boyfriend. I think it's despite what sounds like very dark material, and it is somewhat dark, it is joyful and weirdly optimistic. There's also a great piece in there by Daryl Currier, who it's his first time in print. He works, I believe, at Portland State University, where I think he's worked for many, many years, on the night shift for the security detail there. And this is his first short story. It's a lovely piece of storytelling about two teen kids, both in track. One's white, one's Native American, and this sort of showdown they have between them, a showdown that neither really seems to be looking forward to.
What about generally the market for short fiction today? Are the readers out there? You have to corral them, dragoon them?
I think they're definitely, the readers are definitely out there. I mean, you know, you ask McSweeney's, they're not having a hard time of it at all in terms of
the narrative is doing pretty well.
As far as I know,
yeah.
But I think what you have to do is, if you're not as high profile as say, the New Yorker and these sort of places, you have to give people a reason for wanting to spend time with it. So there are things you could do, or the things that we're trying to do. One, provide to them the highest quality work you can. Two, provide work that's relevant to them. In this case, it's all from the West Coast. We're assuming our readership's mostly going to be from the West Coast. And this is going to be a chance for you to see what's going on, basically, in the world that you live in. Three, make sure what you give them is as handsome and as desirable an object as possible, hence the redesign that we have there. You see, it's higher quality paper. We have French flaps. For the first time ever, Zizova, we are now running color art on the inside. There's an 8-page color signature where we're showing off some portraits from Katie Granite and also some paintings from Julio Cesar Morales, who was showing down in a gallery in Los Angeles. You do all these things. And then you do also something else, which is what we're also doing, is you do a lot of events. You give people a sense, a real sense of community. So when they get the journal, when they read it, there's a chance for them to come out and basically hang out with other people who also enjoy the book. You know, we'll be doing a ton of events throughout the Bay Area behind this. We'll be doing more behind the winter issue, too, and the spring issue as well.
When I think about this question of California writing, I guess I get a lot of different synapses going off, because I think that, you know, we did a whole series, as you know, on California writing, where we would pick California novels and just spend the hour on them, whether it was Steinbeck or Kerouac or whomever. But there is – it does kind of break down. You know, you think about say the Bay Area, you often think about the beach. You think about the Southern California. You think about, I don't know, Nathaniel West, Thomas Pynchon maybe. And then Sacramento, Didion, who's also identified with Southern California. But then you think about, you mentioned Portland before. I'm thinking about what writer has established writer. Now they've got new writers now in Portland. Or you've got new writers in Seattle. But they don't have those writers like California has.
I'm sure they do, but you know, just because they're not coming to mind doesn't mean they don't exist. I'm pretty sure Portland's had a lot of fine
poets. Oregon has Ken Kesey. I mean, you know, he comes to mind. Yeah, Washington State, though.
Oh, there must be.
Oh, of course there are. But, you know, they're not those names that come to mind. That's precisely my point.
Well, yeah, but you know, that's all right. I mean, part of it. Well, look. Some of it has to do with the fact that, look, you just mentioned Didion, you mentioned Pynchon. You mentioned a lot of people who are West Coast writers but who had to make their names in the East Coast. I think, you know, that's always been a situation out here for the West.
There's an Eastern Bloc, isn't there? It still exists? West of the Hudson is kind of non-existent to them?
Well, you know, it's a lot harder if you want to get into get published and get into the, you know, certain publications if you live out here and you're not out there, meaning Brooklyn or Manhattan or what have you. It's, you know, you have to go out there, you have to network, you have to go to the parties, or you have to intern at some of these journals or some of these places, and that's how you create your career. So it's always been a struggle to make that career, I think, out here. One of the things that Zizova is about is helping support those writers who are still out here. And also hopefully, you know, helping support those writers who still write about the West Coast, but, you know, for whatever reason, aren't getting the attention they deserve.
I remember Ishmael Reed used to talk about how the East Coast was dominated and hegemonic and ignored West Coast writers. And I used to think, oh, you know, come on, there's a lot of West Coast writers. I think I'm more inclined to agree with him now. There is a tendency to sort of give short shrift or ignore the West Coast writers by the Eastern Bloc, as I call it.
Well, it's, look, think of it this way. If you're a publisher back east, well, you publish what you know. So
that says it all.
Yeah.
You publish what you know, and like you said earlier, you publish what you like.
Mm-hmm.
The new issue of Zizova is out there. Again, it's the fall 2011 issue. Congratulations to our friend Oscar Villalon, who is now managing editor. And when we return, we're going to find out about another new publication, The Atavist. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.